Jones Topsoil has been delivering topsoil, mulch, sand, and gravel. For greener lawns and brighter flower beds, call 1-800-TOPSOIL. Order online at jonestopsoil.com.
Jones Topsoil brings it home to you.
Hi everyone, it's Gavin J, the best thing since The Colour Blue, and you're listening to The Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I speak to Florence Archery from Yoga Retreats and more. Well, we will be talking about the relationship with our phones and digital detox. Welcome to the show, Florence. How are you doing?
Hi, Gavin. I'm okay. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on. Basically, let's start with yourself, Florence. Tell us a bit more about your background and, you know, how you got to where you are today.
So, I'm a big fan of retreats, and in particular yoga retreats. It's something that I started going on yoga retreats anywhere in the world about 20 years ago when I suffered from depression and I burnt out. I was working as an interior designer. It was quite demanding. And I wasn't looking after my mental health, and I burnt out. I was depressed. I wasn't feeling very well. I wasn't sleeping either. I went to see my GP, hoping to get some sleeping tablets. And instead, she advised me to start meditating, being mindful, doing yoga, and if I could afford it, go on yoga retreats. And that started my journey into going on yoga retreats and, you know, meditation and eating healthily and, you know, sound baths and so on and so forth. And I set up my business, Yoga Retreats and More, in 2020 during the first lockdown. Everybody laughed at me at the idea of setting up a travel business in the middle of a pandemic, but it's actually very successful because one thing that COVID, the pandemic, the lockdowns taught us is that our mental health is precious and we need to look after ourselves. Self-care is not selfish. So that's me in a nutshell.
It's brilliant because you've come so far. And through something you was basically where you was in a you know, bad place, it's brilliant that you found light and, you know, you came out of that, you know?
Absolutely. There is light at the end of the tunnel for all of us. It doesn't matter how down you feel. It doesn't matter, you know, how depressed. There is light at the end of the tunnel for all of us. Sometimes it's little things we can change, it's small changes. It doesn't have to be big, expensive changes we make in our lives. Sometimes it's little changes which can have a big impact.
Absolutely. And you've come so far now with your own retreats.
Yes, I have 9 retreats this year. I'm taking people to India. I have a particular love of India. People who have been to India, I mean, whether it's on a yoga retreat or not, we know that it's a special place, and you feel the need to go back. I also take small groups in the UK. We do Cumbria, we do Devon. There is beauty everywhere, so we can go anywhere in the world and reconnect with nature, which is so important for our mental health.
Must be beautiful to be in those settings as well.
Yes, I feel very privileged to be. I mean, Cumbria is stunning. I feel privileged to be able to travel for work. I always take small groups. It's never more than 8 people because I want every single one of my guests to feel important. They're not just a number. 8 people is a good number for people to bond with each other, and I have time for each one of them, so it's great.
That's brilliant because it's more specialist, isn't it? You can listen more to people, what they're saying, and, you know, provide some support.
Absolutely, I hold space. It's something that I really, really love doing. I listen to people. I've learned over the years that even though we are all so connected, we are many of us are very lonely. That's a recurring theme with some of my guests. Even the ones living with a partner and living with family, loneliness is also a bit of an epidemic. I've been on retreats as a guest myself, big groups, up to 40, 45 people, and you feel completely lost. You will end up talking to about two or three people over the week. At the end, you say goodbye to some people and you realize that even though you've just been on the same journey for a week, you've never had the time or the opportunity to ask them for their names, what's their story, where they're from, and now you're saying goodbye. And I don't want my guests to feel like that. So that's why I like a small group where we all eat around the table, family style, because I want my guests to get to know one another, have the time and the space to know, and I need also to get to know them. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Absolutely. Sounds good. When did our mobile phones become a health hazard, do you think?
Well, phones in general were created, the phone was invented as a communication tool, and it really changed the world. And it's wonderful that you can call somebody on the other side of the world. We're in the UK, we could be calling a family or friends in Australia. And sometimes we think, wow, I can hear them so clearly. It's like they're next to me. And yet, as you know, they're very far away. So the phone per se is absolutely, it's been a transformation. It's been amazing for the human race. Mobile phones themselves were also communication tools. And back in the 90s, or even maybe the 80s, only top businessmen had a mobile phone. Then, of course, it became cheaper. Everybody, or a lot of people, could afford a mobile phone. And it was a revolution. It was amazing. When things became toxic, was pretty much with the birth of the smartphone. Phones you can connect, you can connect to the internet. And of course, that was opening Pandora's box. We could connect to the internet. People started streaming movies, which in itself is not a bad thing. But then you could spend hours on your very small screen watching movies or videos. And then the rise of social media was a turning point for us, for our mental health. And you cannot, the association between smartphone and social media is obviously a very important one. You have social media at your fingertip, in your pocket at all times with a smartphone. And that's when our relationship started changing, I guess, for the worst.
Yeah, I mean, while a smartphone can be very useful, at the same time, yeah, I mean, it's a very useful tool. I do understand that, it's also, it's become so addictive in the sense that you kind of can't you keep your eyes off it, isn't it?
So, yes, mobile phones are, unbelievable. You can't really get lost anymore. You can find any restaurant, any shop, within seconds. You can Google, the answer to any question. It's brilliant. It's lovely. So it's not so much the phone per se is not the enemy. Social media is where we go down, quite a negative path. So not so much mobile phones, but social media is a problem.
I mean, how toxic is our relationship with social media?
Wow, in the last few years. So again, social media platforms were originally created to bring people together. you know, I don't know if you remember, but some of your listeners may remember Friends Reunited, MySpace, even Facebook. I mean, the Facebook, as it was called originally when it was launched in 2004 by Mark Zuckerberg and some of his friends, was intended to connect people from Harvard University before it started spilling into the wider world. So the idea came from, it came from a good place, bringing people together. And that in itself is a lovely idea. And it was so it was a wonderful idea with the greatest of intentions, which is why 3 billion of us have a Facebook account that we visit on a regular basis, if not daily. However, when people who created those platforms, when they realized that there was a lot of money to be made, again, that was a change. We need to remember that 97% of Facebook revenues come from advertising. So in 2023, we are talking about $153 billion. Billions. We're talking about billions. And they make this money because their goal, so the goal of any social media platform, I mean, I mentioned Facebook, but of course, other social media platforms are available. Their aim is to keep us engaged for as long as possible, to make sure that we spend as much time as possible on the platform and interact. So we post pictures, we post about our latest puppy or, you know, holidays. We like other people's posts, or we dislike, or we're shocked by other people's posts. We interact as much as possible. That's the aim of the platforms, because that's when they can sell you a whole bunch of stuff you don't actually need. You always have targeted adverts on the right-hand side of your screen trying to sell you something. You've got the cookies and algorithm following you. And again, that's when it took a sinister turn, when they realized that there was money in allegedly bringing people together. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it becomes toxic because you are bombarded with posts from your friends, inverted commas, friends. And then you have all these feelings of some of us will feel inadequate and feel that we are not enough. It always looks like other people seem to have reached goals that we can only dream of. You know, you have people showing off their latest car, they're moving into a bigger house, they're on a holiday in some sunny, you know, shores, and you're stuck in London in the grey weather. So with that, there's a whole bunch of very negative and toxic things associated, such as there's the sharp rise in cases of anorexia and body dysmorphia. We lose the ability to communicate properly with other humans. We lose the ability to socialize. Of course, there are cases of bullying. It's called cyberbullying. There is a sharp rise in the suicide of teenagers. Some teenagers have been, you know, kind of brought to the brink of suicide or have committed suicide. Depression, and the list is endless.
No, absolutely, absolutely. We're just going to a quick ad break, and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Good. So thank you for that, Florence, that information on, you know, social media and phones and how it can be toxic. You know, what's the impact of social media on our mental health despite age?
So at any age, I would, as I mentioned just before the break, I think that for a lot of people, try to keep up with the Joneses. What we need to remember is that whatever you see on Facebook, on Instagram, TikTok, it's the heavily filtered lives of other people. You've got all these filters. So they're always, everybody's always so slim, so beautiful. They don't have, you know, a hair out of place. They're in these beautiful locations. And for a lot of people, it's, you know, it's destabilizing. It's it brings on depression. And like I said, you just don't feel good enough. Because you're not there. You're not the one driving this car. You're not the one, you know, holidaying in Mexico right now. And you know, you're not the one in the stunning bikini. It has a really, really bad impact. Like I said, anorexia, body dysmorphia, the rise in, you know, cosmetic, you know, Botox and, you know, and so on and so forth. It's quite toxic. It has an impact on our sleep. There is something called ADD, attention deficit disorder, which comes from spending too much time on our small screens. There's also something called social media anxiety. So some people start suffering from anxiety. So, all of that.
Gosh, it's quite a few things that can be affect someone, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, we're not too much aware of it. But yes. Yeah, people who do, who would go on a digital detox, people who would, so some people just come off social media altogether. Sometimes you hear about, you mainly hear about celebrities saying, I'm not on Twitter anymore. I'm not on Instagram anymore. I just don't need this in my life. I don't need this. And they just come off it altogether.
Yeah, I've seen that actually quite a few times where people kind of, they don't feel good going on social media. And even if they are successful, some people don't wish to go on social media, which I can understand, you know?
Absolutely. It has nothing to do with success. So it doesn't matter whether, you're not, it doesn't matter if you earn £20,000 a year or you earn, you know, £20 million per movie. We are all humans and all prone to anxiety and depression and so on and so forth. Yeah,
absolutely. Do you think we can dissociate social media from our mobile phones?
You could. So if you want to, the first thing I would recommend is probably turning off notifications. So notifications is when you get a little ping whenever something has happened on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or what, X. You don't need to know that somebody on the other side of the world just liked a picture that you yourself liked 5 hours ago. Somebody commented on your neighbor's post of their new kitten. You don't need to know that. Smartphones are the ultimate attention seekers. And you don't have to feed into that. So turn off notifications and regain control where you can think to yourself, maybe just before dinner or just before going home, I will quickly go on Facebook and see what's happening. But that way you have control. You decide when you go on a social media platform and check what's happened rather than your phone and the notification specifically telling you something has just happened. Because it doesn't matter how strong we want to be, we hear the phone ping and automatically we pick up the phone and we check. 9 times out of 10, it's nothing important, but somehow the phone called us and we answered. We can't resist. So one way of resisting is probably to turn off notifications. And if you want to go one step further, you can delete the app. So delete Facebook, delete Instagram, and again, log into it when you feel like logging into it. So that way you're in charge. You regain control over it.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's a couple of things I would mention as the most important. Turn off notifications and delete the app if you can.
I've spoken to some people before during the radio show interviews, and they've said how they would, I think there's a certain cutoff time at night that they turn off their phones or just, you know, stop looking, basically, maybe 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock.
Absolutely, yes. There are quite a few things that you can do at home. There are a number of small steps you can take. That don't cost anything, but small steps that can have a very big impact, such as going for an afternoon of no social media, which maybe can be turned into a complete day. You can have a day off from social media. You can, when you watch a movie, I mean, when is the last time you watched a movie without looking at your phone? If not during the film, than during the ad break. So we can go back to, you know, to the good old days, you know, before smartphones, when we would get immersed into a movie rather than watch the movie with one eye and have one eye on our phones. That's one thing we can do. We can say, no, I'm going to put my phone on silent. This is a really good movie. And I'm going to concentrate on this movie for an hour and a half. And I'm not going to give my phone any attention. I would say turn off your phones probably an hour before going to bed. Stop social media an hour before going to bed, rather than keep scrolling. I mean, it's called mindless scrolling. We scroll without even realizing, or doom scrolling, you know, which, you know, it says a lot. So.
Absolutely. I've got to say, I think not just myself, but people generally do scroll, unfortunately. And you can just, it's funny how time just goes by when you're just scrolling.
It's a rabbit hole, isn't it? One thing leads to another, and before you know it, so it could be you can go on a social media platform saying, "Oh, I just want to check something," which would be should be 2 minutes of your time. Before you know it, 30 minutes, 45 minutes later, you're still scrolling because it's a rabbit hole. You're going down and then you start and there is no stopping. But that is the goal of the social media platform, to keep you there for as long as possible. And the more time you spend there, the more adverts will pop up. And that's how they make their money. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you're not going to win this game, basically.
And I think also I heard, I don't know whether I was watching a documentary or not, but they analyzed data from people's phones in terms of what's been looked at and that kind of thing.
Yes, of course they do. Of course they do. I mean, the algorithm is always there. And it's it's funny and sad at the same time. But if you Google, and again, other search engines are available, if you Google, a pair of red shoes, you want to buy yourself some red shoes, and then you change your mind. But for days on end, you will have adverts for red shoes popping up on your phone, popping up on your social media. And that's the cookies, the so-called cookies that register everything we do, and it's quite sinister, and people are trying to fight back against that.
Absolutely. What's the impact, you think, of COVID on our relationship with tech?
Oh, that it's very, very interesting. COVID has had a detrimental effect on our dependence on phones and social media. For many of us, it was our only way of keeping in touch with friends and family. So again, to start with, a brilliant, you know, phones and social media were a brilliant communication tools. We could keep in touch with people that we were not legally allowed to see face to face for so many months. And then, of course, you had the rise of working online, you know, with Zoom and things like that. So we're spending more and more time on our screens. But as far as social media platforms were concerned, it was a boom. I mean, for them, it was like, you know, it was heaven. TikTok, for instance, reached 3 billion users in October 2020. So that says everything you need to know.
That's huge.
Most of us, you know, over 15, had never heard of TikTok before 2020. But that was for TikTok. That was absolutely huge. It's a Chinese platform, and that was a great year for them. Facebook as well reached. I can't remember. I don't have the figure in mind, but quite a few billions as well. I mean, right now So 2020, COVID, lockdowns. Heaven for social media, yes.
I'm guessing Instagram would have been massive as well.
Instagram as well, yes. Sorry, I don't want to leave them out. Instagram as well. Instagram. You could share, you know, pictures of your day, of your breakfast. Or most of us in lockdown, we didn't do much. So any little thing you did, you could share on Instagram. And once you became addicted, and the lockdown stopped and you're allowed to see your friends, you're allowed to travel again. However, we're not stopping with social media.
Gosh, loads, isn't it? Yeah, I can imagine. We're just going to another quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So, Florence, there must be some social media platforms better than others, you know, where you can use social media for good things.
Absolutely. Everything can be used for good or evil. Social media is a fantastic way of communicating with people. It's a fantastic way. I mean, businesses get very successful on social media, depending what you have to sell. I myself use social media to spread the word about my retreats, my yoga retreats, and my digital detox retreats. So I don't want to, I'm crazy about dogs, and two of my dogs I found on Facebook, on the Facebook page of some charities. So no, I mean, social media doesn't have to be bad. However, the data shows, unfortunately, more negative than positive. So in 2017, Instagram was ranked as the worst for mental health. And that's because it's a very visual platform. You know, you share pictures. And the scrolling of all these images, it's constantly stimulating our brain. Our brains are bombarded with this with images, and this has a very long-lasting effect. So even after you've put down your phone, a little bit like spending, you know, a bit like video games, too much time spent in front of, you know, video games. Your brain has been bombarded by all these images, all the colors, and, you know, it's processing all of that hours after you've put down your phone. So that's what was. I mean, X, you know, Twitter X is regularly called a cesspit, you know, bullying. So for all the good social media platforms can do, unfortunately, there is just about as much negative, and that's all the social media platforms. It's all across the platforms, and, unfortunately.
And we know that you promote digital detox. Tell us a bit more about what that is.
So, digital detox is when you spend an amount of time away from your phones and ultimately away from social media. If people did Dry January, for instance, because they accept that they have an unhealthy relationship with alcohol and they want to give their liver a bit of a break. If people are ready to do Stoptober and stop smoking for a month and give their lungs a bit of a rest as well, then a digital detox really makes sense.
And what's the positive impact of digital detox?
So a digital detox is when you spend an amount of time away from your phones and therefore ultimately away from social media. So if people were ready to do or did a Dry January because they accept that they have an unhealthy relationship with alcohol and they wanted to give their liver a bit of a break, or if people would consider doing Stoptober, stop smoking for a month to give their lungs a bit of a break, then the digital detox makes sense because it's a way of looking after your mental health. The positive impacts of a digital detox, you will get less anxiety. So as you stop social media for a few days, and you can just start with a few days, you will stop these feelings of anxiety. Therefore, you will get a good night's sleep. You can spend the time you were spending on your phone. You can spend that time doing something more enjoyable. You can read, you can learn a craft, you can spend time with friends and family. Social media and especially advertising has a very bad impact on people, or shopaholics. A lot of people get tempted to buy what's advertised to them. And of course, if you stop that, you stop purchasing things you don't need. So a digital detox will, you will feel that you have more time in the day. You will feel healthier, mentally healthier, for sure.
Absolutely, sounds it. What steps can people take in their daily, everyday lives to start a detox at home?
Small step with a big impact. The first one I would recommend is for people to invest in an alarm clock. So a lot of people, a lot of us, we use our phone as an alarm. So that means bringing the phone into the bedroom, having the phone on the bedside table, you know, and use it as an alarm. So the first thing I would say is it's a small investment, probably 10, 15 pounds, you know, or dust off your alarm from a few years ago. Put the phone on charge in a different room, maybe put the phone on charge in the kitchen and have an old-fashioned kind of alarm on your bedside table. Don't bring the phone. The bedroom should be a tech-free environment. Don't bring your phone into your bedroom. An hour before bedtime, turn off your phone. Read before bedtime. Have a few books or magazines by your bed. Reading before bed is sleep-inducing. As you read, you're sitting down. It's nice and quiet. It's a little bit of me time. You know, turn off the day that's just gone. you will see that you feel sleepy much easily. Like I said, maybe turn off, have a social media free evening, one or two evenings a week if you can. Set a time limit on your apps, like TikTok or Instagram. You can set a limit. Respect the limit as well. No phone at the table. Try to enjoy your food. Eat mindfully. If you're eating with a partner or your family, have a chat with your partner, have a chat with your children, catch up on the day, plan tomorrow, but don't allow phones at the dining table if you can. On the commute to work, if you commute to work, maybe a zip, have your phone in a zipped pocket in your bag. Again, try to carry a magazine or a book. Be the only one person on the tube reading a book rather than playing with your phone. Read something. Or just daydream. Daydreaming is a perfect antidote to social media anxiety. Just daydream. Just allow your mind to travel and, you know, daydream rather than being doom-scrolling, as I say.
You actually do digital detox retreats for a few days, do you?
I do. If people can afford to go away for a long weekend, that's the ultimate self-care. So I do digital detoxes in Devon and in Cumbria. It's all on my website, yogaretreatsandmore.com. It's fantastic. You meet people, you bond with people, you share, you love, you cry, you put the world to right. There is this real human connection in real life. We're physically active, so we do yoga, we go for walks, we go wild swimming, we gather, you know, around the fire pit, we stargaze, and so on and so forth. And that keeps you mentally occupied and stimulated, physically occupied. Within a few hours, you've forgotten about your phone. So you go home, you really are refreshed. You're rested and you're refreshed. And you go home with so many plans you're going to put into actions. And it's lovely. It's lovely to see people for a few days, almost being like children. You know, jumping in the river, and or you know, playing games, and you know, and not being unconcerned about what's happening in somebody else's life, and just taking care of their own life, because ultimately, social media, a lot of it is about somebody else's life, and then you forget about your own.
And I'm guessing those phones have to be locked away somewhere, not allowed.
I do appreciate it's not compulsory. People are adults and we treat them like adults. But the aim is that if you can turn off your phone, put your phone away or give it to me and I will look after it. It means you take it seriously. You've made the trip all the way to Cumbria or Devon and you take your health care and self-care very seriously. We give you a disposable camera so you can take pictures. That's how we do it. And again, we all eat together and we share. Sharing, connecting with other humans is very important.
Fantastic. And you go away to various countries, is that right?
We also have retreats in India. India is a magical country, and I recommend everybody, it should be on everybody's bucket list. I also take groups to India, to Rajasthan, to the Taj Mahal. It's a very spiritual country, so it fits very well with the retreat that I organize, where we try to be in touch, you know, with our spirituality. Absolutely.
Sounds fantastic. And you said people can find that information. Can you repeat that website? And is there anywhere else people can get in contact with you?
Yes, absolutely. It's yogaretreatsandmore.com. And we have a few of our retreats listed. And people can get in touch with me at Florence@yogaretreatsandmore.com.
Fantastic.
But you can get in touch with me through the website.
Oh, right, of course. Okay, so it's a bit easier.
Yes, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, look, thank you so much for your time today, Florence. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you so much. And I hope that, a digital detox or getting a healthier relationship with our phones is on everyone's list this year.
Yeah, it sounds like it will need to be like a New Year's resolution, isn't it? Kind of.
It should be. Yes, it should be. Yes. Regaining control, letting that little phone, they're so small, they get smaller and smaller, and yet they have a bigger and bigger place in our lives and they control our lives. Regain control, people. That's what I would say.
Absolutely. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you, Gavin. Thanks.
And thank you to our listeners. You can find me on Instagram at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.